I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We have one more storyteller this half, and we're very fortunate to have her here in a literal way because she kind of just got off of a dream vacation that was extended an extra week because the airline canceled her flight back from Europe to America. She is an incredibly talented performer. You may know her from her one-woman show about Harrison Ford that toured around the city, or just from other events around. Sappho Salon is a good one. Please welcome Eileen Tall.
I was recently trapped in Paris. I never thought I would be so happy to get back to America in 2018, but I was. So I first have a piece to read from you that I'm excited to share by Claire, grade 5. It's called Feeling Trapped, Now Gone, which I picked this, I think, a couple days ago, but now the title is personal to me. But it's Feeling Trapped, Now Gone. Before I knew how to explore, I used to be trapped. Before I knew to love, I used to hate. Unfinding in life what there is to appreciate, it seems hard now. Unfinding what is here, when I lived in constant fear. Before I learned to steer, I used to hide what was on the inside. Now I explore, now I love, but that old me will never be lost. That cold winter will never defrost. That's clear. I try my hand at poetry a lot, and I started writing poetry when I was about 11 or 12, and I was like, I am so good at writing poetry. And I've since recently found those notebooks, and my brothers and I did dramatic readings of like my dramatic poetry, where I was like, the mirror shatters when I look at it, the pieces like float away from me. It was a lot. So Claire is really killing the game. So this is a story that I've written, and yeah, here we go. It is 4 a.m. and the sun is far from up, but here I am, awake and gulping down coffee with excitement and purpose. I grab my backpack, slip into my Uber, and prepare to spend the next 16 hours working as an election coordinator. I have been assigned outside of my ward, which I'm a little bitter about as my apartment building is my official polling place. I usually vote in my slippers. It's the dream. So it's a little bit of a grumpy trek to a Northwest neighborhood in Chicago I have been assigned to. In the car, I unfold the photo that I had tucked into my purse before I left. It's of Emily, excitedly holding a pillow emblazoned with, "A woman's place is in the White House." It was an early birthday present for her, and this is one of the last pictures taken of her before she died suddenly 2 months before. Emily was such a huge fan of her presidential candidate and mine, so much so that Hillary Clinton was mentioned in Emily's obituary alongside the names of all of the rest of our family. As an election coordinator, I can't do any campaigning or show any bias on this day, so I fold up the picture and tuck it back into my purse, just to keep it with me. Just so she can be here today. And I'm so excited. I have never been a part of such an historical political event. I've never really been a part of any political event other than visiting and really loving the Hall of Presidents at Disney World. Up until the past few years, I have not considered myself to be a very political person or to be civically engaged at all. I'd grown up in a fairly conservative part of the country in a fairly conservative family with a limited perspective on the world. I learned that getting along with everyone is your highest priority. So if something uncomfortable comes up in conversation, you just change the subject. If someone hates a certain group of people based on race, gender, or sexual orientation, it's just part of their belief system and you should just pay little attention, change the subject and move on. Don't rock the boat, don't care too much, it's only politics. Besides, I've always thought, it's just a lot of pageantry and preening. But at the end of the day, people are good, and they want the best for everyone, even politicians. All of this political drama with the election, it's all just for show, and it's not like anything will really change anyway, I said. I arrive at my polling venue an hour before voting opens up. Now, I won't, because I can't, reveal too many secrets about the Illinois electoral process, only that it is a very long, hard, and harrowing day of work. Thank your poll workers early and often. As my shift tiptoes forward, I am on a social media lockdown. I'm unable to keep tabs on how the actual election is going. I'm too busy checking people in or registering first-time voters, many of them non-white or young people or newly minted citizens. I process over 1,000 people in my assigned district when all is said and done. And for the first time, I feel like I'm actually making a difference for my country, contributing in a real way, helping people access their right to vote, to share their voice, and work towards a bright and wonderful future for all Americans that begins tomorrow. I am nothing if not wildly idealistic, like a wide-eyed protagonist in a Frank Capra movie. I step out of my polling site around 9 p.m., and it's as if the sun had never risen at all that day, and I open up my phone to start to catch up on all of the good news, all of the real-time election numbers. And I start scrolling through my phone at the bus stop, and my enthusiasm and excitement drops to the pit of my stomach, where it seems to have remained for over a year. And there is dread, and there is disbelief. There is fury and confusion. I try to go to sleep that night, but I feel too sick and nauseous and afraid. And the results of this election not only were disappointing to me in terms of the winner and the loser, even if my fully qualified and presidential candidate had won, the hate and vitriol and divisiveness of the preceding months and following months have revealed that our country is in a deep state of disarray and chaos, and that it always has been, that we are so unfathomably divided. And then after the election, there was the increase in hate crimes, many of which invoked the name of the president-elect. There were safety pins, which came and went. There were marches and protests. There will be more marches and protests. There is the Me Too campaign, and there is the building backlash against it. And every day seems to usher in a new disaster, continuing to reveal in same and repetitive ways that the person who was elected president is, simply put, a racist, misogynistic, bigoted pile of disgusting trash with his finger on the doomsday button. And when I start thinking about that, I get a little overwhelmed, and I want to take a very long nap or flee the country or something. But I can't. We can't do that. It's easy to want to disengage, but I feel that I can't. I have privileges that give me voice access and platforms to speak. And I think about Emily, and I feel like I have to speak twice as loud for her. So I will try to wake up early every day, not as early as 4 a.m., certainly, but I will try to do good and put good into this world. I will try to disrupt. And I will call my reps. I will march. I will put my money where my mouth is. I will try to make art that this current president hates. And I will keep going. I won't shut down like a government in turmoil. And we will keep fighting.
Eileen actually did our first show after the election. Do you remember that? It was at the Steppenwolf, yeah. And it was such a weird, like, cathartic. It was great. Oh, such a, yeah, that was like the first time I had felt like good in about 10, 20.